Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You are dust. The bulletin cover says it. You heard it repeatedly during the imposition of ashes, and it was only used in those places because the Lord God himself first said it in Holy Scripture. In the beginning, the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And God created the woman from the man's flesh as a helper fit for the man. Remember well that she was not created for other women. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And just for the record, that means each individual person was created male or female, not both or neither, or given the option to choose what to be. That the Lord God created the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and essentially created all subsequent people from that man means that humankind is completely dependent on God for life. The Lord God's grace gives humanity its humility and dignity, and his fashioned artwork of clay owes its praise to the potter. In the Small Catechism's explanation of the first article of the Apostolic Creed, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther has us confess that God does everything only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. And for all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him, concluding, this is most certainly true. You are dust, and to dust you will return. The bulletin cover says it. You heard it repeatedly during the imposition of ashes, and it was only used in those places because the Lord God himself first said it in Holy Scripture. After the man and the woman sinned, the Lord God told the man that he would return to the ground, for from it he was taken, restating it with those exact words, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. As the man, Adam's descendants, all people carry the corruption of Adam's original sin and the curse that it wrought. In that regard, our religion does not matter, nor does whether or not we believe at all. Unless the Lord God first comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead, all people's bodies will die as a result of that original sin and the countless actual sins of thought, word, and deed that that original sin leads us to commit. No amount of nutrition and exercise can ultimately prevent that death. And no amount of embalming and entombing can prevent the decay that follows death. As the usual committal rite says, sometimes illustrated with sand, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Most of us seldom have to see that decay, but the people of the Bible, with their practice of placing bodies on benches in caves, would see firsthand that decay into dust at the next burial. That decay into dust in the grave even leads to the Bible's using dust as a term for the grave that all people deserve on account of both their sinful natures and their actual sins. You are dust, and to dust you will return. But that is not the end of the story. The psalm verses that we used earlier tonight essentially is the gradual between the Old Testament epistle, reminded us that the Lord knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. And so as a father shows or should show compassion to his children, the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And we should think chiefly of the compassion that God showed in sending his son to die on the cross for the sins of the whole world. The very next psalm refers to our returning to dust when the Lord takes away our breath, but it also says that when the Lord sends his spirit, we are created and he renews the face of the ground or earth. The Lord sends his spirit to both call us and enable us to turn in sorrow from our sin, to trust him to forgive our sin, and to want to do better than to keep on sinning. When we so repent, then God forgives us. Pilgrim's usual Ash Wednesday banner says, "We repent in dust and ashes." And its companion banner, planned for the other side, is planned to say, "The Spirit recreates and renews us." The Spirit transforms us now and keeps us for the transformation of eternal life. The Spirit recreates and renews us as God forgives our sins through his word and sacraments. The Bible's Hebrew words for the loose, dry earth that we call dust and the results of burning that we call ashes sound very much the same and are even thought to come from the same root word. In the Bible, dust and ashes are often paired with each other, sometimes even used parallel to each other, and may have even been mixed with each other as they were used as symbols of human worthlessness and insignificance, symbols of distress and sorrow, symbols of grief and mourning, and more to our point tonight, symbols of humiliation and contrition. And although not usually regarded as means of grace, dust and ashes can help us remember the means of grace by which the Holy Spirit recreates and renews us. For example, both Hebrew words are used by the book of Numbers in chapter 19 to refer to the ashes of a sacrificial red heifer that were part of the water of cleansing that God prescribed. I alluded to that water of cleansing in my newspaper column last Saturday, and we took a quick look at Numbers 19 in adult Bible class last Sunday. If you missed them, both are available online. That Old Testament water of cleansing points us forward to the water of holy baptism, which God uses to recreate and renew us in Christ Jesus. And as baptized and individually absolved children of God in Christ Jesus, we in the sacrament of the altar eat and drink the body and blood of Christ that were given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins, for life, and for salvation. As we heard in tonight's epistle reading, God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. St. Paul's divinely inspired call for us to be reconciled to God, something that God actively does, in which we are passive and can only prevent. St. Paul's divinely inspired call for us to be reconciled to God is ultimately no different from God's call in tonight's Old Testament reading through Joel for us to return to him with fasting, weeping, and mourning, to consecrate a fast, to call a solemn assembly, to gather even the children and nursing infants, sinners all in need of the forgiveness that God offers. Yet more important than any external signs of repentance, whether rending garments, wearing sackcloth, sitting on the ground, or even applying dust and ashes to our faces or foreheads, more important than any external sign of repentance is the actual internal repentance, the rending of a contrite heart. We use dust and ashes, not hypocritically as condemned in tonight's gospel reading, but primarily as a reminder for ourselves, though they can also be a part of our witness to others. We repent in dust and ashes. But the Lord raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. You are dust, and to dust you will return, but the Spirit recreates and renews you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.